It says we're live, and we're live. It's Tuesday, February 9th, 2017, and for Sharks fans everywhere, maybe they should have postponed this game. Or maybe they thought it was already postponed. My goodness. Sharks lose to the Boston Bruins 6-3 as they play their hearts out for their new head coach. We welcome you to this edition of Pucknology After Dark, and it's presented by Audible, an Amazon company. We provide with them a free 30-day trial, and you can search up to 180,000 audiobooks, and you get to keep one of for yourself, whether you continue using the service or not. Log on to audibletrial.com/PAD to sign up. You get a free book. You help support the show, and like the Boston Bruins tonight, well, for that matter, pretty much anything in Boston lately, everybody wins. That's audibletrial.com/PAD. Of course, we want you to be a part of this show. This is an interactive Sharks post-game show, and we want you to join the conversation. Use the hashtag PucknologyAD, or you can join us in the YouTube chat on the page itself or on the app. On the Twitter machine, you also have us, yours truly, at PuckGuy14, at ChrisJWS, and joining us right now, and as we'll say hello to Randall Hahn. You can follow him on Twitter at Hahner.
How are you, Randall? Doing well. Nice to join you guys. This has been a while. Unfortunately, not on a better game night, but it's good to be with the Pucknology family once again.
Yeah. And we'll check in. I know he was having a little bit of a computer issue. Chris, are you there? Chris?
Doesn't sound like it.
We'll check back in with him in just a jiffy. But nonetheless, make sure you subscribe below or to the side. Like we said, we are an interactive Sharks post-game show after every game. For more Sharks news and opinions, visit Pucknology.net, and you can also follow us on our social media channels down below. Hi, everyone. It's Eric. You can follow me on Twitter at PuckGuy14. It's been an interesting last two games for the San Jose Sharks. Well, three for that matter. Tough loss tonight, falling to the Bruins 6-3. Nothing. I don't want to say you can bring out some bright spots, but this was not the greatest game in the world tonight, wouldn't you say, Randall?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of got the vibe from the start of the game. Essentially, I mean, Boston takes the quick lead. It's one of those games where we're in the East. The time difference is kind of an effect. The weather is just not normal for, I mean, yeah, these players grew up in Europe and Canada. They're used to cold weather and stuff like that, but they've been living in the Bay Area, and, you know, the All-Star break just happened and guys have been vacationing, and for them to go to Boston and have to deal with the winter like that after being in Buffalo, it's, this is really the part of the schedule that I highlighted at the beginning of the year when I said the World Cup of Hockey was going to really play its role in fatigue come this time of the year when it's towards the middle of the season and it starts to feel like you've played a full regular season going into the playoffs.
Yeah. And in February was one of those months that we thought, okay, this is where they could really pick up the points. And unfortunately, they've been on a good run where they've been picking up at least a point so far this month, but this is the first one where they do not. Unfortunately, 0-1-2 in their last three. So that's not fun. Joining us now to pinch hit for Chris JWS, much appreciative, is Ian Reed. How are you, Ian?
I'm here.
We appreciate you being here. what was your initial take from tonight's action?
They just look so out of sync. You know, I think that the penalty they took for too many men on the ice was just like it was the game in a nutshell. I mean, you look at how, you know, you had six guys on the ice and none of them were anywhere near the bench. I mean, it was just that just kind of, to me, summed up the entire night for the Sharks game.
Yeah, it just seemed like they were out of it, and maybe there was some, I don't want to say there's reaction or follow-up after that collapse against Buffalo, but they just did not seem like themselves, and it showed 52 seconds in when David Backes scored to make it 1-0 Boston. It looked like from the replays that I saw, there were four sharks in one corner, and like three quarters of the sharks' attack or the sharks' defensive zone was free, and Bacchus was wide open eventually to bury it home for his 12th.
Yeah, I mean, there was just no attention to detail tonight, especially in the defensive zone. You saw a lot of missed assignments tonight that led to goals.
Yeah, but then the Sharks bite back. They get Jumbo, actually scored on a goaltender. I think Rusinowski said that it was his first goal against on the even strength on the road since last February, which is
Wow. Absolutely
crazy. Yeah, that's crazy. Let alone it's his first goal on a goaltender this season from Hurdle, fourth of the year. Hey, Jumbo, I mean, we criticize him, but hey, if he wants to pass it to the net, by all means, pass it to the net.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been on the show in a while. Just I'll give my take on Joe Thornton as of late. Unfortunately, I think we're in the midst of his biggest lull in his career as a Shark. I think it's been the point of his career where he's possibly not the most dominant player on the ice whenever he's out there. He's not the focal point, and I feel like the team hasn't really accepted that yet. I feel like they're still trying to get him the puck a little too much. I feel like the power play's maybe a little bit focused around him, and the adjustment's going to take a little bit of time. I feel like ever since the article came out where he was looking for a 3-year deal, I don't know if you guys caught up on that, but yep. His brother, his agent, came out and said that he wanted a 3-year deal because would he re-sign in the middle of the year for whatever year? And they said, no, we want a 3-year deal. Why would we sign in the middle of the season? Ever since he was asked that question, I feel like he's been off his game. It just seems like Marlowe has stepped up when he hasn't. And for the first time in years, I felt like Marlowe's been a much more effective player for us as of late. I know that really doesn't have to do with tonight, but just like it was good to see Joe get that goal, especially in Boston. But it's going to be really interesting to see how he plays for the rest of the regular season, considering he had a longer season last year and he's going into a contract. And, you know, if we don't make it to a Stanley Cup final, like, do we keep him?
Him before Marlowe still.
Well, yeah. I would keep Marlowe over for the speed for the third line, but Joe Thornton at this point, like, he's almost like Jerome McGinley, where he's – I mean, he's more effective than Jerome McGinley, but that's the type of guy that he's going to be in your lineup in, like, a couple years.
But right now, I mean, he's still your undisputed first-line center.
No, of course, but if we don't make a Stanley Cup final this year with the way he's played, because that's the only way I see him coming back as a Shark is if we lose in the final or if we win the Cup.
Yeah. I mean, I can't see – I can see Marlowe staying around, but they're going to have to come to the right price for Patty. I think Jumbo – Marlowe's going to get
a nice offer, though, from somebody else.
No, sure. Yeah, and they have to think about down the road with all the contracts ending this year and definitely the next year as well, which is going to be quite interesting – how that's all going to work out cap-wise. Go ahead, sorry.
It just feels like the guys are just – they're exhausted. Like they said that post-game, they're just tired. They're not clicking. I think Dell needs way more starts. I think tonight would have been a night that Dell gets a start because as of right now, he's only getting like the back-to-back starts or against a lesser quality opponent at home. I think he needs to get some more starts because at this rate, the way Jones – he's playing too much. He's playing too much.
And Ian, it showed with those last two goals in the first period, Bergeron at 15:52, and then barely 2 minutes later, Pasternak on the power play. I think we're starting to see the Joner kind of starting to look like he's getting a little too worked up.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is a concern that I obviously had. And I think it's hard to know how much of this is just Jones and how much of this is just the way that everyone's playing in front of him, right? Like, I know I kind of said Jones was kind of garbage tonight, and I know I got a lot of crap on Twitter for it, which I deserved because I was frustrated. And, you know, sometimes I can about some nonsense at
times. He got pulled. You can't.
He did get pulled, but I mean, there's a couple of those goals where, you know, I mean, one-timer, you know, I mean, yeah, you'd like to see him make the stop. You can't really, you know, when your defense isn't in position and you're getting, you know, you're being dragged left to right, and pucks are going past you. I mean, you know, there's a level of that you have to blame on your defense. So pulling him was absolutely the right mood, I thought, though. Like, you know, even if maybe the goals weren't as his fault, as maybe I kind of wanted to blame him for everything at that point, and that probably wasn't fair. But pulling him, I mean, it was absolutely the right move. He didn't look like he was on his game. He didn't look particularly, I mean, he hasn't really looked particularly good since the shootout. It was like he played a good game, went into that shootout, got completely undressed.
Well, he made that huge save right before the shootout,
right,
and then exactly. He got undressed in the shootout. Like, he got made a fool by, was it Vermette?
Was it Perlini, I thought?
It was the second shooter, the second goal for Arizona. He just completely... Yeah,
I think it was Brandon Perlini.
Okay, well, he undressed him. Like, it was, like, and then he went right over his shoulder. Like, yeah, but he's pretty consistent. But after that Buffalo game and letting up those goals in the third, you really looked for him to have a good first period and just at least start out well, and then letting up that goal really early, just it does not have a good feel to it, especially when it's a 4 o'clock game on the West Coast. It just, it feels weird.
Right. And it's not going to get any better down the road for this road trip. But concentrating on that, the third period against Buffalo, you have that minute of overtime, and then the first period against Boston, that's 7 goals in 41 minutes play. That's a concern to me, and not just from Jones per se, but also defensively. There seemed like there have been either defensive breakdowns or more so like they're getting out hustled to a little bit. I mean, even Vlasic, who's a mainstay and one of the probably the best defensive defensemen in this league, has had a little bit of struggle. Braun didn't look like
I thought Braun was terrible.
Braun's not helping him. Braun was the worst defenseman on the ice tonight. I have a lot of opinions about him as of late too. I think tonight made it very clear that this team is in the market for one more fifth or sixth D man. Not necessarily to play in the lineup tonight, but like, if one of our guys that's in the lineup right now gets hurt, like, do you have much faith in the rest of the guys that we have to come in and fill in a playoff series? Like, I think we need one more defenseman, and I think we need a little bit more speed.
I'd play Tim Heaton in a heartbeat.
Yeah, but, you know, there's a guy right now that's going to come back from injury, and his team's not going to make the playoffs, and that's Nicholas Cronwall. And, like, I would not mind having that guy for a playoff run.
It depends on how healthy he is. If he's 100%,
he comes back next game. So there's 21 days till the trade deadline.
That's a thought. But I mean, the other thing too is you also have, we're still waiting on DeMelo to come back. I mean, okay, you have Mueller. You have, Joachim Ryan's with the team now. But Tim, he was with the Barracuda, but he was up earlier in the year.
If you're in a conference final, though, like the way we had to depend on Pollock and Dylan, like if one of those guys got hurt, we were truly screwed. Like, what if Braun gets hurt and then somebody else has to come in and fill? Like, I wouldn't feel as confident with like a DeMelo. Like, I like DeMelo. I like the way he plays, but for a team that's supposed to be winning the Stanley Cup this year, I don't think he's on the playoff top six or even top seven.
Moving on to the second period, as much as he's had a rough game, Braun did get the second goal to pull within one, make it 3-2. 100th
point of his career.
Nice. Thank you. And then later in the period, another 2 goals from Boston, this one from Schaller, and Pasternak again on the power play to make it 5-2. And by then, it was just pretty much you hope to get something. The Sharks got a power play in the third period that kind of looked lethargic as opposed to the freaking power play that the Bruins put on in the second period. I thought that was just masterful as how they were doing it. And then he compared it to the Sharks in the third, and it just seemed like they were just out of it and lethargic, Ian. But then Timo gets a garbage goal. Nice for him, but It was just a meh game.
It's that point of the year. It's a throwaway game up in Rochester.
It's just, yeah, like, I you know, like, Timo's my guy, but I'm not excited about that goal. I mean,
not many goals of him to be excited about other than his first and then that breakaway, which nobody saw in the first place.
That's because Waro took a huge hit to set him up.
Oh, my God, he got laid out.
Yeah.
And on MLK Day, how dare he?
Yeah, exactly. So overall, the shots on goal, Bruins outshot the Sharks 33-26. Faceoffs, which is one of the drums we usually hit, Bruins outdid them 56-44. Pavs was only 14% in the faceoff circle. Haley and Wardo were perfect. It was one of those weird games. Bruins go two for three on the power play. I think the Sharks were at 11th in the league going into Buffalo. I think they've dropped to 15th in the league now. The Sharks were 0-for-2 for the power play. Ian, is there something to take out of this game that you can put on as a positive?
It's over?
Yeah. That's what Jamie said, the fact that we actually played the game, because if the game got postponed, we would have had to return back at the end of the season, and that would have messed up with our schedule going into playoffs. So the fact that we actually played it was a big deal.
Yeah, and I'm almost wondering if it's better to lose a game now than to fly all the way from San Jose to Boston overnight to get a game in. It wouldn't help. I mean, we saw that last year when Anaheim had to make up that game in Washington, and then their whole playoff series got delayed an extra couple of days.
And they lost in seven.
Exactly. So and I think the league recognized that, and that's why the league said play on. I know the Bruins weren't too happy about it, but they're all also – I mean, kudos to the Bruins. They knew that, I mean, with this monster storm that they're having out back east, the Nor'easter, they're also saying they'll exchange tickets for future games to anybody. So that's good on their part. But there was a good crowd out there tonight considering the horrific weather going on there.
That's just another day out there. I mean, the East Coast has storms every year. It doesn't stop them from living their daily lives. Yeah, I mean, it's bad out here in the Bay Area, too. It's been pouring and wind all day. But, I mean, like, in the East Coast, they know how to deal with snow. It's not, like, apocalypse for them like rain is for us. So, but I think this makes Saturday's game huge, because if we lose Saturday's game four in a row and then back-to-back, then having to play in New Jersey the next night where we typically don't play great, Philly's going to be a big game for us.
Well, and that's my concern, too. It's like when you look at, there's no guaranteed points in the NHL and there's no easy games and blah, 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 blah. Get all that cliche garbage out of the way. But these, you know, you expect that the Sharks at this point should have more than 2 points to show for their trip.
Mm-hmm. But the East is much better than what they used to be. And like Sharks have traditionally had great success against the East. Buffalo is much better at home this year.
Yeah, but I mean, they're still. What
Buffalo,
are they?
Yeah. Sharks should be the best in the East,
aren't they?
Sharks should be a top three team in the West. Chicago, Minnesota, Sharks.
Yeah, I mean, you should take care of business against a Buffalo. I mean, yeah, I know that some, you know, the bottom to the top in the East, I know there's like a 7-point spread, which basically no one's out of it in the East, but
except Detroit, really, I feel like.
But at the same time, it's like, I don't know. I just feel like if you look at the schedule compared to like in previous, you know, in some of the previous months where it's been a lot more condensed games and a lot, you know, let's be honest, better teams, you'd think you'd have more than 2 points to show for this road trip so far.
What, two games?
Three?
No,
Joe, you got the Arizona game.
So one point.
The Arizona game was home. Yeah.
I realize that. I'm just saying, like, but when you look at the opponents, though.
We've lost three games of Arizona this year. Like,
I know.
And that's the weird, like, it doesn't matter how bad Arizona, LA, or Anaheim we are any year. It's a 50-50 chance against any of those teams anytime we play.
Oh, yeah, they always play hard. I mean, they always play us hard.
And Smith is a Shark killer. I mean, let's be real. Mike Smith has
because had his number.
Kevin Weeks today on the NHL Network, they did their trade deadline preview of who they think is going to go where, and they think that Shane Doan will be a San Jose Shark.
I don't see that either.
I would rather take Jerome Iginla over Shane Doan, but at the same time, like
money for neither of them.
That's so romantic to think of, like, the other guy in the NHL that deserves a cup other than Patty and Thornton, but, like, that's not the third liner speed that we need. And, like, yeah, it's good character in the locker room, but, like, that was a big problem in the past. Like, there is a reason why Ryan Clough didn't remain a Shark. That was because he liked to talk in the locker room, and he wasn't the captain. Joe Thornton was the captain, and Jumbo Joe didn't like that. And Pavelski's captain, Thornton's a voice, Marlowe's a voice, Vlasic's a voice. Like, it's just way too much at that point. And, like, even at trying to get a guy like Duchesne, like, the only way I'd try to get a guy like Duchesne is, like, if we're trading a guy like Hurdle. I know that's crazy, but I would honestly trade Hurdle, like, in a second for Matt Duchesne in a heartbeat.
That one's tough, but...
Hurdle's one knee injury away from, like, being borderline. Duchesne's 26. Like,
yeah,
he's easily a top six forward in the NHL for another 8 years. Like, if we could get Matt Duchesne, that would be incredible. But, like, for Colorado to give him up to a team in the West also is very unlikely. But I think it's very clear our power play is struggling too. I think it's very obvious what we're going to do every time we set up. We just try and feed Burns, and we just try and get rid of it and get traffic in front. And they just keep a guy up high trying to poke check the puck, and they're figuring out our system. That's what won us playoff series last year, our power play. So we need to get that back on track.
Yeah. Now, Ian, you have the back-to-backs. This is the other part. They're essentially morning games for the Sharks. You have a 10 o'clock start in Philly on Saturday. I believe it's also a 10 o'clock start on Sunday in New Jersey. They kind of takes you out of it a little bit, especially for those going on the East Coast with the West. Number one, Dell's got to get into one of these games at least, you would think, right?
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, though, you've already been in the East, like, you've been in the Eastern time zone for a week at that point. Like, I don't know. I have slightly less sympathy. I'd have more sympathy if they, like, you know, you basically went and that was your game. It was like, you know, you left Arizona and then you played back-to-back at, like, 10 and 9:30. They've been in the Eastern time zone for a week. They should be adjusted by then. I don't really want to hear any.
They flew out on Monday.
Even still. I mean, so Monday you fly, you land Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Fly first class jet, no security. It's not an issue for them.
Right. I mean, it's I don't care. Like, I'm not going to listen to, like, if we lose both of these games, I'm not listening to, oh, but it was so early, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. Like, it's your job. Do your job.
Yeah. It's only odd when it's like a 1 p.m. home start in the West Coast. That's the only time it may feel a little different just because of the time you're showing up to the rink. But
like, I get jet lag's a bitch, and I understand.
And if not the way they fly. Not the way they fly. There's no jet lag. There's none.
And there's time adjustments still. I mean,
if they fly after a game and they're landing in another city at 2 or 3 in the morning, yeah, there's a little bit of an adjustment. But they, you know, they get everything, like, accommodated, like, to the best possible way, to where everything is the best possible.
They're not
on a bus. They're not.
And if there was, if this road trip had started with 1 p.m. games out in the East Coast, I mean, we could maybe see it. But yeah, you guys are right. They've been there since Monday. You should be accustomed to it by the time you drop the puck Saturday morning. I mean, let's be real here. That's what I get out of this. But I think Dell needs to get a start in one of these games, and he should. Which one do you start him with? Do you go back to him with Philly?
Yep. Or do you absolutely?
I say you do, but I don't think he will.
You think he'll start New Jersey?
Yeah, I think Jones is going to start both, to be honest, because Dell played the rest of this game. I would not be shocked to see Jones start both games in the back to back.
I think Dell was penciled in to start Philly, I would say, like, initially. I think that all plans, Jones would have finished tonight's game. But now I think Dell should play, but Jones will end up getting the start because DeBoer will see it as get his confidence back up. Hopefully he wins, you know, and then Dell comes back the next night. If Jones shits the bed again and Dill has to come in again, then Jones might get the start again the next night unless he completely shits the bed, and then who knows at that point. Like, I don't see him completely shitting the bed, though.
No, no. If he does, then we're in a heap of trouble.
Those aren't offensive hockey teams compared to Boston, at least, but neither is Buffalo. But I think Philly, we've already played once this year, and I think we kind of get a feel of what their style is. They're kind of similar to L.A.
I agree, especially since, you know, Hextall kind of was an exec in the L.A. system for a while, and then he came back to be the Philly GM.
We got Wayne Simmons over there. He's basically like Jeff Carter over there. Yeah. So.
Yeah. All right. With that, let's go around the league. A bunch of games going on early today, and a lot of it doesn't help the Sharks too much. Right now, in the second period, Pittsburgh leads 2-0 against Colorado. The Desert Dogs are down 2-0 to Montreal in the middle of the second period. With your finals right now, the Islanders keep rolling all of a sudden. 3-1 the final over the Flyers. That's the Sharks' next opponent. Washington 6, Detroit 3. Man, it really is looking like Detroit's not going to make it.
I feel like they're the only for sure team out of the East. I mean, you could say Buffalo and Carolina just because there's so many teams in between, but like, you could feel it at the way they got eliminated last year that this was going to be the year that their age caught up to them. Datsyuk retired, Zetterberg's old, Cronwall's hurt and older, Franzen's gone. Like, it's just, and they didn't have high draft picks for all those years, so it's just, it's about time, to be honest. Like, you're not supposed to be this good this long.
Yeah, and I think they've held on for longer than they should have, I think. You know, if I could do it
the last over 5 again, years.
Yeah, if I could do it over again, I probably don't do the Mike Green deal. There's a couple deals that they've done where I probably
they,
don't
they
do that
they then. Should have shook it up after we went 3-0 2 years in a row on them. They should have realized that they weren't at the, and when they switched over to the East, they should have just totally started over, started from fresh.
Definitely should have started early.
Goaltending, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's all a mess up in Detroit right now. Rangers beat the Predators 4-3. The stunner of the day so far, I guess, would be the Blue Jackets were shut out by the Vancouver Canucks 3-0, the final there, which, again, as many of you know, I listen to TSN 1040. They were calling that Vancouver game against Columbus a must-win to keep any type of playoff hopes alive.
Oh, it's game 55.
I know.
I mean, I get it, but, like, come on.
Yeah, so that's a huge one for Vancouver. Anaheim goes into Buffalo and takes care of business 5-2 over the Buffalo Sabres.
But the time zone.
Yes. Dallas loses to Ottawa 3-2. If you haven't looked on Twitter yet, Dallas scored on their own net on a delayed penalty call. So Dallas is in a heap of trouble.
Yes, they are.
The Kings pretty much had every player get out of their schneid tonight, beating James Reimer and the Florida Panthers 6-3. And this one just went final. The Blues beat the Leafs in overtime 2-1.
Their goaltending's starting to wake up, huh?
Yeah, well, and maybe the coaching change has done something too over it.
Hitchcock's the most hated guy in the world.
So, I mean, let me see who got that game. Oh, Tarasenko, his 26th of the year with the game-winning goal. So that takes him on big time here. So with that, let's take a look at the standings as of this moment, because it's February and fun must be always, right? So with that, Sharks still sit on top of the Pacific Division at 70 points. Anaheim picked up two points tonight, and they're 2 points behind the Sharks at 68. Edmonton is idle tonight at 66. The Kings win puts them up on the wild card spot at 60 points. The St. Louis one also leapfrogs them over Calgary. So Calgary sits out now at the moment at 59. Vancouver's one puts them at 54. And the Desert Dogs, yeah.
They're done.
Yeah, they're
well, at least they're getting a new arena.
Hey. Parking lot next year.
Oh my God! Like they can't even get that done. Like they're the Raiders of the NFL. I mean, they're the Raiders of the NHL. Like you think they're going to get a new arena? You think they're not? They should just move to Seattle.
Well, there was that report, but then about them looking at arenas in Seattle and Portland. But the Coyotes came out today and said that they're fully committed to building an arena in Arizona.
Today they said that?
Yeah, of course they did.
After the ASU arena just folded like 2 days ago, that they're committed. Yeah. They've been committed.
Yeah, they've been
committed. They have a beautiful arena, it's just nobody goes, and it's in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And they don't want them there anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah, because of things.
So let's get this straight, guys. There are two NHL teams that basically are not welcomed in their arena.
What do you mean?
But, well, the Islanders as well with Barclays Center.
Well, I mean, the Islanders should have never moved to Brooklyn. They were never wanted in the first place. They kind of forced themselves in there.
Well, they had no choice. I mean, Nassau Coliseum is such a dive.
Well, it is, but what they should have done is they should have figured out a plan to have their own place set up, because they knew eventually that they were going to have to leave Brooklyn. That was only a temporary solution. Well, yeah, but they're going to get a place in Queens. Queens is they're going to build an arena right next to Citi Field, Olympic Park over there right by the U.S. Open tennis stadium. They're going to end up building an arena over there, and they're going to probably move over there within the next 5 years.
That's crazy to have three sports and entertainment facilities with
close. Jay-Z was just selfish, and he just built that for the Nets, but the Nets don't bring in people. Like, people treat basketball like, because I lived in New York for a couple of years, like basketball is the sport in New York City. Like, football is big and all, and baseball is too, but for some reason people love basketball more than anything, even though the Knicks are never good and they always pull in more fans and the Nets don't pull in fans. But hockey looks horrible in Brooklyn, the way that car's in the corner.
That arena was never meant for hockey. I mean, the sight lines are brutal.
Exactly.
There's just all kinds of things working against them in Brooklyn.
That's what happened with Phoenix. They were playing in the Phoenix Suns arena too, and there were certain seats where you'd be sitting behind pillars and you couldn't see anything.
Right.
It just didn't work out in Brooklyn. They thought the whole hipster thing would work out because hipsters like things that aren't popular, so they thought they'd be hockey fans. No, because hipsters suck, so they don't like hockey. So it's like that just doesn't work out.
Oh, well, I'm concerned about it. And then next thing you know, you're gonna have Bettinson. Our game has never been bad. Oh wait, where's Kevin when I need him on demand? Oh, our game has never been better. All of our expansion teams are going to be fine. I mean, it's like you have two teams that aren't
because Vegas has started out so beautifully. The Vegas start has just gone according to plan.
Nothing we can do about
that. PowerPoint presentation might have been the best cringeworthy moment of the NHL's history. Just like the new expansion franchise, all their technology mumbo jumbo, and they can't even get a PowerPoint to start.
Yeah, I don't know. It's something else for sure.
Carolina will probably end up in Quebec City.
And that's the other thing is the concern with Carolina. I don't know. Moving on, I kind of heard this on one of the radio stations I was listening to up in your neck of the woods.
Okay.
Vegas can start making deals after the trade deadline.
I believe they can start making deals at the trade deadline. My expectation here is you're going to be talking about, acquiring, just kind of backfilling your talent pool. I think also, teams like maybe Pittsburgh can't get rid of Marc-Andre Fleury in time. So they, give Vegas, let's say they gave him a second round pick so that they don't take Matt Murray. You're going to see stuff like that go down.
Salary dumps.
Yeah. Salary dumps. And then just, I don't know about players. See, I guess, yeah, salary dumps. I think for players that aren't playing, I mean, obviously, I don't think they're going to acquire any player that is playing because I'm sure the PO will be like, no.
I don't, well,
you're not taking this guy who's playing.
How's that work for paying a salary till the end of the season? Like,
I guess they just get paid to sit at home.
By who?
By Vegas, if Vegas acquired them.
That's odd that they already have money to spend like that then.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're...
It just doesn't make much sense. I just feel like once the NHL season's over, then there should be an expansion draft, and then they can start dicking around. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. Zach, they bring up a very important point about Vegas, is they still need to get their final expansion payment in, which by all accounts, they haven't. But they expect it to get it in. If they get it in, then they can start doing deals. But it's going to be a lot of, like, you know, like Randy said, you're going to see a lot of guys pick. Maybe they might pick up some dead cap. If you go through that expansion draft, a lot of people joke about them hitting the floor. Man, I did that expansion draft and I had trouble staying under the cap. So,
yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what they do.
Can I ask who has a train station nearby?
Not me.
I do.
Okay. No, you're good.
It's literally right next to my house. It's not a station. It's the actual train, and like it goes by about 4 or 5 times a day, like 3 in the morning. It's the ACE train that passes through Pleasanton.
All of a sudden, I was like, Jonathan's back. Yes, Chichu is back. Woohoo!
We're safe. Chichu train.
Yes. Sorry. I had to say. Rob Iman kind of has an interesting point here. Scott Darling from the Blackhawks has played fairly well for the Hawks. Do you think he might get traded at the deadline to avoid losing for the Hawks to lose him for nothing?
They have to do something. I don't know how much Scott Darling makes off the top of my head, but as Scott Darling's been good for them, I mean, look at, they don't really have a lot of options. They're protecting in the expansion draft, basically already chosen for them. They're going to need to cut salary next year again, because chances are, I mean, the players are talking tough right now. I don't know if it'll stay that way, but right now it doesn't sound like they're going to activate the escrow escalator. And if they don't do that, the cap ain't going anywhere. $570K. It's nothing. Yeah. It's
wow.
Yeah. Kevin Weeks thinks that Duchesne's going to go to Colorado. I mean, to Chicago as well. So I don't know how they're going to get rid of some cap, because he's under the assumption that they're going to trade for Matt Duchesne.
Well, there you go.
That's Jonathan Taves, apparently, and him. Team Canada, you know.
How are they gonna? I'll believe when I see it. I don't know how they're gonna make that even remotely work.
Exactly.
I mean, Pittsburgh made Kessel, Crosby, Malkin work.
That's the thing. Like, I don't know if you can. Like, you look at Chicago. You got Kane and Taze making ridiculous, like what, 10 something each?
No, they both took like lighter deals. They're making like 8 a year.
No, they're like
no. They got 10.5 million on the cap.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Well, Keith's coming off soon. He's only probably got one another year or two.
Keith is locked up through 2023.
Yeah. Really?
5.5.
Wow, I thought he was
telling you, dude.
That.
Like they're completely. They're gonna have to shed cap. Period.
And they have.
He might go to LA then.
And they have a boatload of no movement clauses too, which is crazy.
Oh yeah, all their like the expansion draft, they don't even have to show up. They just have to be like, yep, this is our list, because we don't really have a chase. They don't have a say.
Who are they going to take?
You've got Seabrook signed forever. You've got Keith signed forever. Kane and Jalmerson signed for the next 3 years, and then once he comes off that 4.1 deal, he's probably going to get some serious money on the open market.
That last deal was his big one, so he'll probably still get like $4 million a year.
I don't know. He'll be 32. I don't think.
Yeah, we put that fat offer on him though. I don't think he'd get another. I don't think he'd get another fat offer sheet.
No, he won't get another fat offer sheet, because it'd be a UFA, but I still think on the open market, I mean, defense comes at a premium in this league. I would not be shocked to see someone overpay. Look at Matt Niskanen got like $6 million.
Yeah, which is a joke, and which made the Brent Burns deal look like fucking thievery.
Right.
Pardon my French.
None taken. It's after dark. We.
It was a loss. This game film footage will not be used on any resumes or any on any video reels.
We won't tell anybody, but, you know.
Yeah. Shh, don't
tell anybody. No. You know what? If anybody, I would think if we're defensive wise for Chicago, for them to lose in the expansion draft, maybe some guy like Trevor Rehmstrijk, I think, could be. I mean, he's got a nice deal. And
I think Wolf, that's why I'm losing in the expansion draft.
Either him or Darling. And then again, Darling's a UFA at the end of the year. So, I mean, he'll be looking for a nice suitor.
That might save on that. Because if I'm Vegas, I'm not and I think that's why I didn't take Darling when I did my draft. Because if you're Vegas, why are you going to take a guy you're going to lose the rights to? Like, it makes absolutely no sense unless they can work out a deal with him, because they do have that window to work out a deal with a pending UFA, and then that counts. It's before the expansion draft happens, and then if you do that to a team, that counts as your pick from that team. So there is that possibility. Scott Darling, I mean. Yeah, I don't think they're going to, you know, I don't think they can afford to keep him.
I think they're going to take Eddie Lack. I think they're going to take Eddie Lack for their starter.
That's an interesting thought.
Because they have Cam Ward, who's older, and they have that younger guy who's been playing. Well, Ward was out. I can't remember his name, but Eddie Lack's that one. He signed that contract after he's played well with Vancouver, and there's all that hype, and he didn't really meet the expectation in Carolina, or just kind of flew under the radar.
But I would think there's so many better options than Lack, though.
Yeah, but I mean, for like a goalie, because you have to think that Fleury and Bishop are both going to be traded at the deadline, because I feel like Dallas and St. Louis both need starting goalies for the playoffs if they want to make a run. So those guys won't be taken in any expansion draft.
How would you be for Dallas if you're in the expansion? Like, please take Nemo. Please take Nemo. Please take Nemo. Damn it, no. Come on.
No one's taking either Nemo or Lettinen.
No, they won't. But nope, you know, they're like, come on, please, please, please.
They would be a very dangerous team if they had a number one D-man and a top 10 goalie. But they just put too much focus on offense. And I'm glad we don't.
I still think that's where Vegas is going to get hurt, though, because I think that they're probably going to be able to pick up some nice pieces on D. They're probably going to get a decent goalie, but you're going to have third liners on.
Yeah, no offensive depth. It's going to be all young guys that didn't pan out in their first deal. It's like their fourth year in the league. They were like a third or second round pick. They were expected to be top six, but they never got past like the Tommy Wingle stage. It's going to be like a bunch of Tommy Wingles and like maybe like a Rick Nash, you know, or a Dustin Brown. It'll be guys like that. They're going to have one superstar. They're going to have one superstar. Maybe Evander Kane if Winnipeg fucking doesn't like him anymore.
I think Evander Kane is definitely a guy I had.
Yeah, but him and living in Las Vegas, you have to also think like that's a big part of it. Like,
you know, I get it. I mean, I understand that Las Vegas, you know, you have the Strip, it's a party city and everything else. But I think
he's a problem.
But for all the trouble that you can get in, like you can get in that kind of trouble in any NHL city.
Oh, 100%. But he's notoriously known to be an issue off the ice. And
right, but I mean, if you could be an issue in New York, you can be. I mean, he's in Buffalo now. I mean, he's just a hop, skip, and a jump from New York. I mean, shit, you can get into all kinds of trouble in Columbus, even.
Yeah, but Vegas, it's. I haven't been to Vegas since I was like 10 years old, and like I see it as more of an issue for players that are traveling, because it'll be the one night of their season or the one or two road trips that they go to Vegas. So it's going to be the nights that they go out, especially if they have like a day off the next day. Those are going to be the players more prone to having issues. But it's going to be a new franchise in that town where there's a lot of tourists. And so it's going to be a lot of people that you think you're never going to see again. So there's going to be a lot of guys that are going to be a little reckless, and there's a lot of gambling, and it's just a town that hasn't been kind of conquered yet in the sports territory. So there's going to be a lot of new kind of shady things, but I
can gamble on my computer though. Like I think if any of these guys are going to gamble, they're already gambling. I don't
know, but it's about like inside information, just like paying for info, like for like if players are going to be playing or not, or like it's stuff like that. It's not about like the player actually gambling on who's going to win or not, because hockey, that's impossible. One player cannot change a game like that, and he cannot.
Right.
It's a matter of knowing who's playing and who's not, and if like there's equipment staff or locker room or just arena officials that have an insight. It's just like stuff you wouldn't normally think about, and like obviously it probably wouldn't happen, but like there's certain personalities and guys in the league, like Thomas Vanek, he went into bankruptcy and had to go to court because he was over like $20 million in gambling losses when he lived in Buffalo.
Yeah, so, I mean
there's certain guys
playing for the same reason.
Yeah, but Vanek got in trouble though while he was playing in Buffalo. Like you said, like how much trouble can you get in Buffalo? Like Vanek lost millions and millions of dollars.
Oh, I mean, look at gambling it's everywhere. I mean, you can do like all these things you can do anywhere. It's like, I know that's the one thing, like a lot of people like Vegas. Oh God, the gambling. Oh, you know, the hookers, the blow, everything else. You think you can't find like, you know, Jared Stoll found hookers and blow.
Yeah, but that was on the off season.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you can find it anywhere. You can find it in any NHL
season. I know, look at these guys.
I mean, yeah, there's probably going to be, you know, I think some of the younger guys might get in trouble, but yeah,
it's Evander Kane though. It's just Evander Kane. He's got that persona. It's
but even still, it's like, you know, most of these guys though. I mean, you know, the morning skate originated because you had to skate the booze out of the players. I mean, no one plays like that anymore.
Teams are starting to take away the morning skate now
because the players. I don't think that it's going to be like.
No, I agree.
I don't know. I think for all like the concerns, I think a lot of them are just unfounded because if that was the case, I mean, you know, they don't skate the booze out of players in the morning anymore. You might get a couple of young guys that might get in a little bit of trouble, but I think overall, I think the concern's super overblown.
Most players handle themselves appropriately, but there's definitely certain players that take it overboard even during the season. And that's notoriously known what players like it, that show up hungover. All the rookies in Calgary last year that happened, Monahan and Johnny Hockey, like all those guys, they got suspended by the team. It'll be more of an issue for teams there on the road because they'll use that city as their like rookie dinner or like the dad's trip, and then that's the night that they're going to go out drinking, and then they have a game the next day. And like, I'm not saying that they'll get in trouble, but it'll affect their play. And I think that Vegas will be one of the best home teams like in 5 years.
All right. That's your Vegas breakdown for tonight. kind of shitting backwards to the standings a little bit, because it's our favorite game. If the season ended today, you know, and I know Gen X will be like, well, what happens if the sun were to explode tomorrow? Yeah, well, that, whatever. We're not taking that into account. At the moment, if the season ended today, you would be looking at a San Jose-Nashville rematch for round one. Followed up with Anaheim-Edmonton, Minnesota-LA. That might be interesting. And then Chicago-St. Louis rematch. Another first-round rematch from last year. So that's that would be an interesting one. And with the change of Subban in the mix with Nashville, although I don't think he's had as much of an impact as I think we all thought he would this year.
Sorry, what am I supposed to say?
Do you agree with?
I don't see Nashville as any different of a team with Subban or with or without Weber. I think. I just don't see them as a threat, so I really don't put too much thought into them. It's kind of hard until they beat us in a playoff series to take them seriously. I just don't see them as a team that we'd lose to in the playoffs.
I was really high on Nashville coming into the season, and I think that I don't know. I mean, I don't think they should be overlooked. I think that there could be a good. I think Nashville's a good sleeper pick. You know, obviously the way that they've kind of stumbled through the season, I think will obviously, you know, took the shine off them a little bit, but I think Nashville's an excellent sleeper pick.
I like them as a sleeper pick. I just don't like their offensive depth.
They had that one line last year in the playoffs that did damage and man, that would take a lot for Nashville to upset us, I think, in the first round. But then again, you get the hot hand, and Rene is able to have that hot hand. Although I think we've kind of flipped things around on Rene the last season and a half, I would think. But I don't know. I'm not certain. I'm not sure if it's a slam dunk against Nashville, but I don't think it's going to be an upset with Nashville if we were to play them in round one. But looking forward to something sooner on Saturday morning. It's the Sharks and Flyers. In your thoughts as we head to the city of brotherly love.
They killed Hitchbot. They're not the city of brotherly love.
Did you guys know that Matt Nieto's from Long Beach?
I did know Matt Nieto's from Long Beach. Look at it'll be a fun game. I think that's what time is out of my time zone. Yeah, it's like a 1 o'clock game for me. So, it'll be fine. I'll watch the game and then probably have a co-pilot with me on the show later, and it'll be good. It'll be a good time.
Mm-hmm. Randall, what do you say
about the Philly game?
Yes.
If we win, that'll be great. If we lose, it'll suck. But it's like at this, like honestly, like I'm not very emotional about hockey right now. It's kind of hard after that cup run, just seeing like when the hockey really matters, and like I'm watching these games, and there's just a big different amount of emotion that's invested in games ever since we made it to a final. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but there's a lot less thought I'm putting into these games before they come up to them now. I think we'll beat Philly. I don't think they're as good as they were at the beginning of the year. I think this team's going to wake up eventually. We're a very streaky team. We'll win 5, lose 3, win 6, lose 2. That's just, we've been doing that all year. I think it'll continue. Couture needs to start scoring.
He's still been slowly picking it up lately.
Pavelski too.
Yeah, all of them do.
Marlow has more goals than Pavelski.
Yeah, one of Rocket's big things is 5-on-5 offensive play, and I agree with her completely. On top of special teams, their whole team needs to get going offensively, but for that matter, defensively, because again, you've given up, along with empty netters, 11 goals on this road trip, and that can't continue to happen if you want to make a deep cup run, for sure.
He's playing good hockey, but I'd like to see him on the stat sheet a little bit more. He scored a lot of power play goals last year, and he's essentially non-existent on our power play.
All right. Well, final thoughts. I'll start with you, Randall, and where people can find you and what to expect from you down the road.
Sure. Final thoughts. The season is kind of going accordingly the way I thought it would, except point totals amongst the players just all around for our guys have been lower than what I expected. However, like I feel that this is the most loaded Sharks team that we've ever had, depth from first line to fourth line. I think that the rookies that we have are really intriguing. LeBanc has been somebody that I've been loved watching evolve. I'd like to see one more defenseman traded at the deadline, fifth or sixth guy brought over here. I think we're going to make a deep run. Just in case I don't see you guys again, I really do think that this is our year. Like I've never really said, I really think this is the year that we're going to have. And if we don't this year, it's going to be the last time for a while. This is the year the stars align. I just want to see this team stay consistent, no long-term injuries, coaching, not erratic, not like start to change things up. If we start losing, just keep the guys calm. Just let the season go and just go into playoffs on a hot streak. And you can find me on Twitter. I haven't been doing much stuff lately. I'm just looking for some full-time work across the country. Just been like applying different places and stuff like that. But thanks for having me on the show tonight, guys.
Much appreciative as always. And like Laurel just said, you better see us again, Randall, please. Ian, your final thoughts as we head home.
Obviously, like I said, this isn't the number of points to games we've played this month hasn't been very good so far. I don't think that, we shouldn't have expected that they were just going to, just roll through the rest of the season, you know, and just kill everybody and never lose a game. There's trends in the game that I find disturbing, but I think that as much as tonight sucked and as much as Buffalo was really frustrating, it's maybe still a touch too soon to really start hammering on that panic button. You should have your hand hovering over it.
Yeah, no, I think you hit it right on the head, Ian. There, it's like you can sense something coming, but you're not going to hit that panic button just yet. So, but nonetheless, this has been Pugnology After Dark. We want to remind you, as always, to, if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe down below or to the side. We do this after every game. I think this is 169 in a row now. So we're keeping the streak alive. As always,
I feel honored to be on episode 169, by the way. I really appreciate it.
169 straight that we haven't missed. I think our last missed game was like sometime in March of 2015. For more Sharks news and opinions, hit up pugnology.net as always. Also, you can follow us on our social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, of course, the YouTube channel for Pugnology Writers Room. That'll be on Sunday. Latest edition of The Pugnologist hit the other night, so you should check that out. And of course, if you missed anything from tonight's show, you can always hit us on all of our podcast channels or podcatchers, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn.
If anybody comes back to watch this replay, like if they've already watched us, then like they have no life, because this is the one episode that you just don't want to relive, just the loss. Like, you know what? Let's go see how those guys reacted after that awful game. You know what? I kind of forgot what they said at the 23-minute mark.
Hey, you just never know. Trust me. But you can hit us up there. So with that, Sharks lose a painful 6-3 to the Boston Bruins. We will be back with you with an afternoon delight, Pugnology After Dark style, on Saturday afternoon. So until then, keep it real. Keep it tight. Wait, no, Randall's here. I got to do
So you just steal the line when I'm not here, and then when I'm here, you got to act like you don't do it every episode.
No, see.
We changed up this year.
We changed it up, but since you're here, we have to do it the right way. So keep it real, keep it fresh, keep it real fresh.
So what'd you change it to, huh?
Keep it real tight. Good night. Okay.